Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos anesti. This gospel that we have read on this Thomas Sunday, the Sunday after Pascha, picks up where we read the gospel at the Vespers of Pascha. For last Sunday at the Vespers, we read of Jesus coming on the night of his resurrection to his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And so he said, I won't believe until not only I see, but put my hand in those nail prints, my hand in his side. And that's where the gospel ends, last Sunday, on the Pascha itself. So for these 8 days, we were waiting for Thomas to be confirmed in his faith. And Thomas's questioning, his doubt, is very human. Very human. Because he was one of the 12, handpicked by Jesus. And he comes and visits all the others, and Thomas isn't there. What's he to think? Our Lord comes, and Thomas is absent, and he only hears from other people about Jesus's arrival. And as a matter of fact, the other disciples, they still didn't get it about Jesus. They didn't understand, because when we read from the Acts of the Apostles last Sunday, it says they asked him, after his resurrection, Lord, are you going to restore the rule to Israel now? They still thought he was coming to establish an earthly kingdom, even after he died and was in the grave 3 days and rose from the dead. They still thought the big thing to come was he was going to restore the rule to Israel, kick out the Romans, and establish an earthly kingdom. And we don't only hear it there in the Acts of the Apostles, but on Bright Tuesday, when Luke and Cleopas are traveling to Emmaus on the night of the resurrection, they're talking to each other. They don't recognize Jesus. And they're saying, all these things happened. He was a great man, great in power indeed. And besides all this, we thought he was going to restore the rule to Israel now. So to them, the resurrection didn't seem to be the great thing. They were looking for an earthly kingdom, Israel restored by God as an earthly kingdom to rule over all the nations. And they still had it wrong. So close to him were they. But Thomas, that wasn't his concern here in this gospel. His concern is, did he really rise? And not only did he really rise, but for me? Did he rise for me? I haven't seen him. Is this resurrection something for me to participate in also? And so Jesus comes through the closed doors to confirm Thomas in his faith so that Thomas can put his fingers into those nail marks, his hand into the hole in the side. And we know that our bridegroom Christ, he revels in these wounds, that he considers them as something to be cherished because of his affection for us, that by means of his wounds, he gained us who were lost. He gained us who were sinners, who not only are sinners, but who still sin. He gained us for himself. And by means of his wounds, he laid hold on the one whom he loved, each one of us. By his dying, he laid hold of us and made us his. His and his only. And because these wounds are so sacred to him, he considers them fitting, in addition to his splendor as God, he considers them a kingly ornament upon himself to show to the angels what he suffered for us. And so on Holy Friday, when we come before the epitaphion, the plaschanitza, what we kiss are those wounds. The wounds on his hands and his feet and his side. Because he treasures them above all things. Because by them he has won us for himself. And where we who are humans, who have our physical body, will have an injury and we'll put a band-aid on to protect it, it'll heal up, and if it's not too bad, the scar will disappear. Christ is in his resurrected body, which has no need of healing, no need of food or drink, but his resurrected body still bears the marks in his hands and his feet and his side. And he will do that forever, so that not only Thomas knows, but to the end of the age and beyond, the marks of his love for us will be visible. Not only has he done it for Thomas to show him, but to show us. As he told Thomas, "Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed." And we have not seen him in the way Thomas has seen him, but we have believed. We come before his icon to venerate his precious wounds. We see him in the icon of Thomas placing his hand in the Lord's side. And we, like Thomas, must say, "My Lord and my God," staring at the infinite abyss of his love for us, by which he suffered these wounds, so that he could make us his own forever and give us a place with him before his Father and with the Spirit to all ages. Amen.